Hey, this is Steve Bloom, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hi, this is Pat Fraley, purveyor of Duck, Doug, and Villain voices. And you're watching Altered Geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek Unlimited. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me is...
Michael Powers, I'm off the cuff.
Welcome back.
Yes. Welcome back. Well, yes. I mean, I'm back for this show. I don't want to say I'm back. I'm back for this show. I'm going to try and be back more frequently than I have been, but I've... if listeners care, I started Off the Cuff again. Well, I didn't start again because it never ended in the first place. I just picked up where I left off and then threatened all the listeners to cancel the show.
It's done pretty good. I got 24 comments this past week.
The show's sticking around. It was going to stay anyways. We had already made up our minds. We have fun recording it. I just thought, and I don't know if people... I feel like we had talked about this when we did episode 49 of Off the Cuff, that we said it was either 48 or 49. We said we were going to pull a Friends and say the next episode was going to be the last episode. And then, you know, depending on fan outcry, we were going to keep the whole thing going. Some people got that, some people didn't. Either way, we got the reaction we wanted. So we're sticking around, and we were going to stay because we just decided, let's just have fun with it. We have all new music coming with episode 51. We have a little tidbit. We decided that because people like what we have to say for some reason, or they just like our the chemistry that we have, I've decided to bring... You know, every once in a while, an episode of Off the Cuff might have a little bonus segment on the end of it. That's called The Lunchroom, which is a throwback to the podcast that the four of us used to do before we did XRG Off the Cuff for Geekcast Radio.
Yep, I remember it.
But
in its various incarnations.
We're actually calling it The Lunchroom Volume 4, because it is the fourth iteration of The Lunchroom. And it's going to be after we fulfill our obligations to talk about games and stuff like that. So, but there's that to look forward to and some other stuff. And we had Steve was on episode 50.
Briefly.
I was wondering if
it was fun.
Yeah. I was wondering if any of the listeners had picked up on that. We just wanted to have, have it be a fun little cameo. He was there at the beginning, and he was the outro, more or less. So thank you for lending us your voice. I think you were the best old man there.
I've had plenty of practice.
So, you know, ours was all over the place. I don't know if you've listened to the episode or not.
I haven't had a chance to actually listen to it because of my new job specification. I don't necessarily get a chance to listen to as many podcasts, so I actually have a huge backlog.
Ah.
Looking back, I should have used this other voice that a salesman used to work with us. He didn't die or anything. He quit and went work somewhere else, but this dude was in his 70s, and he sounded like this when he talked.
Huh. He was a salesman?
Yeah.
And he was really slow when he talks.
Like, kind of like that. And I could do it so convincingly at work that I could make people think that he was in the same room talking to them when he worked there. And I would make, like, obscene speech patterns come out of his mouth. Because nobody would know I was standing there, but I'd be around a car or something and make them think that it was the other guy and... Then they'd walk around and notice it was me, and they'd call me an ass.
Hmm.
Trick the general manager with that trick, too, so.
All right. Well, other than that, You know, bringing back off the cuff and getting ready for hopefully another 50. I'm still chasing down the job that I talked about, like, I don't know, what was it, like, probably 8 episodes ago now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still chasing that down. They called me last Friday and told me that, you know, they apologize. Like, I had 3 different people from the company apologize to me. We basically, what happened was they took the job out of Detroit.
Okay.
And they moved it to New York.
Oh.
And they were like, if the job had stayed in Detroit, it was yours. Great. So the job I wanted is now gone somewhere else. And so I kind of putzed around about it for about 30 minutes. And I was like, you know what? That's something. Okay, so the job moved. So I called the guy back. And I said, hey, I know the job moved, but I'm still interested in it. I was like, I will move for this job. And, well, now I'm waiting to hear back about that. So,
well, good luck.
Yeah, I applied for that one, and then they had another position. The same position was open in St. Louis, Missouri. So I thought, you know, if I'm willing to move to New York, I might as well be willing to move to Missouri. You know, it is that type of job. Like, I'm just trying to get my foot in the door, because then it's kind of like you're golden once your foot's in the door.
Oh, yeah, that's how it is with any company.
So I don't really care where I have to go to get my foot in the door, more or less. And my wife is, like, super gung-ho about it. She's like, let's just, you know, wherever we got to go, if they'll let you go, you know, if they'll hire you to go there, then we'll go. So just waiting to hear back. I haven't heard anyone say no yet. It's just something that they don't get a lot of, because they probably want someone they probably just look for someone that's already in the area, because that makes it just really easy to hire them. But for me, I'm ready to go at the drop of a hat. So it's like, just, you know, tell me I got the job. I submit my 2 weeks. I spend 2 weeks looking for an apartment complex, which my wife and I already actually have picked out. Yada, yada, yada. I can start in like 3 weeks, you know, and I don't know. We'll see what happens. But that's where I am with all that. And my mind has been split between that and, well, it's like 90% of that, 10%, you know, doing off the cuff. But it kind of puts a lot of our off the cuff plans on hold, especially now, because I was going to try and do a monthly. Well, I was going to try and get us together monthly to do, like, to record several videos to be released, like, throughout the month. So get together mm-hmm. once a month to record a month's worth of videos. And that's when the job was in Detroit. And I wouldn't have to work every weekend. So, like, you know, 1 weekend a month, I could go out to Grand Rapids and hang out with Joe and Danner, and we could record, you know, some, you know, video game YouTube videos in Joe's basement. Well, now the job's not in Michigan anymore. So that kind of went by the wayside. And I can't really commit to doing that now, because the two jobs that I have right now, they don't allow me to have, like, weekends off. So those went by the wayside. But the other thing we're getting ready to experiment with is what I talked to you about, which is that SpeakPipe.
Yep.
And then we are going to mess around with the Google Hangouts.
See, I'm kind of curious about doing that as well, so you'll have to keep me in the loop on that.
We messed around with it after we recorded episode 50 for like 5 minutes. And then we stopped, and I was going to dink around with it, you know, this week, and just never got around to it. It's, from what I've seen, just trying to, you know, not knowing anything really about it, it's overly complicated to begin with. And I'm not sure if you can view it if you're not a Google Plus member. I know there's a link that I can put out there. And I'm wondering if that link allows you to go, you know, just like go to that channel and watch it without having to sign in. The other thing too is that it's nice because it automatically archives it to YouTube.
Nice.
So I've seen other podcasts or vidcasts on YouTube use Google Hangouts to do their show. So I know they're able to put like intros and outros and stuff like that on there. So kind of interested to get in there and play with that. And I thought that'd be something to try, you know, from 8 to 9:30 while we're recording on Wednesday nights, see if we can get anyone to actually listen to the show live. But I don't know, that's all stuff I got going on. So what do you got going on, Steve?
Been working on various things on the site other than, I mean, I've just got my new profile image up in the GCRN staff area, which is totally different than everybody else's.
How so?
Well, it's an animated bio image.
That's interesting.
So, like, the originals, where it had our actual mugshots, and then it was, like, the blue, and it had the texts, the various texts around it, I made that set of profile images, for, like, the third version of the site, and then it kind of stuck for a year or so, and then I let the area get kind of dilapidated.
Crusty, old and crusty.
Yeah, so... as I've been building this new version and even into now, some things that I wanted done that didn't get done are getting done now. And, I included, you know, part of the info, mostly my Twitter profile information instead of having that big, long paragraph. And then I put, you know, my title and some of my social media contacts and podcasts that I'm on. So it looks totally different. It's got kind of the red style that everything's moved to, so.
Okay.
And when the other ones are built, it'll look like they all fit like a puzzle into each other. Like, kind of, like, break apart cardstock.
I should go look at this.
Where
is that at on the page?
It's on the very top of the site. It's GCRN staff.
GCRN staff, okay.
I had it's TV's Mr. Neal. I had
there him
design an animated image of me, and he's doing one for Blanchard as well. I had him kind of mix some of Tron, some of Batman, a little piece of Star Trek, and then the Beast Wars Megatron helmet.
That is very snazzy, sir.
Thank you.
Very snazzy.
I've played with the colors too, and I've made alternate copies as well, so. But that's the original.
Very nice.
So yeah, I've been doing that, and then because of my new job specification during my downtime, I have plenty of time to sit and research content for this show every week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so I'm actually able to find things that I actually give a damn about, which is nice.
I found something to talk about. I thought. Maybe I didn't. Never mind.
And nobody has to worry. I'm not bringing up Batman vs. Superman until we see a trailer.
I was going
to
say, you just did it.
Well, that's the only thing I wanted to bring up.
Okay.
Other than that, it's not going to
be. Can we talk about that fan-made trailer? The leaked trailer? Does that count? I haven't even watched the leaked trailer. I don't even know.
It's stupid. It's just Batman, like, standing in front of a screen, and they're replaying Zod's message that went across the television screens, but it's across, like, Batman's, like, 12 screens.
Oh, okay. That's...
And it just shows Batman slightly turn, and I think somebody just animated, you know, themselves or somebody in there. It's not a huge... It looks neat, but it's nothing worth paying attention to.
Okay.
So, moving on. Do we want to get into some media?
Yeah. You know, one of the things I was kind of itching to talk about, and I was like, should we talk about this? Should I hold this off for, like, off the cuff and talk about this? Or, you know, where should I talk about this? And I realized, you know what? I have the perfect outlet because I saw that you wanted to talk about it a little bit on, Facebook. I just wanted, okay. I know you wanted to do a Geekass Radio episode about it, I think.
I know what you're talking about now.
But I want to throw in my two cents on the whole thing. this has to do with, well, at the time, it was Marvel making the announcement that Thor was going to be a woman.
Which I saw mainstreamed everywhere.
And then the one today, well, late last night, today, where the Falcon is going to take over for Captain America.
Well, I didn't even know that that was happening until this morning, but I heard that they were going to depower Steve Rogers and have him age to be old.
Well, see, I don't know. I didn't know anything about that. I know, like, last
night, I heard about it somewhere yesterday. I don't know where or who mentioned something.
It was, like, the Colbert Report last night is when they made the announcement as to who was going to take over for Cap. And maybe it's just me or the way that I look at the world, and I try to treat everyone equally. Like, yeah, there are people that I dislike, but I dislike them because of, like, who they are. Like,
yep.
Not like, I will say, like, what they are, but, like, who I just dislike their personality. Regardless, you know, male, female, black, white, whatever. If I don't like you, it's something to do with your personality and not, like, what you look like. And so I don't find either one of these stories to be news. In fact, I posted on Facebook and Twitter today. It's like, I understand why it's news for either one of these stories, but at the same time, if you think about it, it's kind of sad that it's news. And the headline for, like, the Slash Film article that covered the whole Falcon, like, you know, taking over for Captain America, was Captain America is being replaced by a black man. Not Captain America is being replaced with the Falcon, or that the Falcon is taking over for Captain America. It's they literally said black man.
Well, see, that's the thing that I don't get, is why they're turning this into a male-female white-black thing for Marvel when, you know, they made Miles Morales into Spider-Man in a different continuity, which, you know, fine, different continuity. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, they have to change the core continuity. I mean, you look at, you know, Earth 2 of DC, and they've got alternate versions, or you look at the two different universes of Marvel. I mean, and then, you know, look at the changes they've made with Doc Ock and Peter Parker, and then they switch them back after a year. I mean, it's them just kind of playing around with it, for one. And two, I think the way that they're advertising it, like, having The View come out with that as the news and then kind of glossing over it, and everybody's like, oh, wait, what? And then having the same thing with the Colbert thing. I mean, while it's kind of news, it shouldn't be that big of a deal.
But see, that's the thing. It's like, that's what I mean. It's like, it's not, like, to me, it's not news. Like, that's just a character swap. That's what they do in comics. Like, that.
Well, they've done it before. I mean, Bucky's become Captain America, and you've had Dick Grayson become Batman. You've right. had, you know, I mean, they had Azrael in the Nightfall comics become Batman for a little while.
I mean, like, I'm just saying, like, to me, it's not news. To me, it's like, it's just interesting because it's the whole character swap. It's interesting to me because of the same reason that, you know, well, I didn't find Doc Ock being Peter Parker interesting at all. But it's the same reason that idea was interesting. To me, these are just all, I mean, they're just characters. I mean, I don't want to say they're like people, but the color of their skin or their gender has, like, I don't know. That just does not make it news to me, and it's sad that that's what the story was. You know, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just looking at it the wrong way. Like I said, I understand why it's news because of what, you know, the society that we live in, and I know why Marvel is doing it. I understand why they're doing it, but to me, it's just not. It's not the news that. I don't understand.
It shouldn't even be an issue to be focused on.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think it shouldn't have been mainstream news. It should have just been like in a stupid little Marvel newsletter. Like, why put that in the mainstream? I mean, sure, it might trickle down into the mainstream. If you did that in the movies, definitely it'd become mainstream. But I think what would have spoken volumes about it is if they had done it in the movies and not just the comics.
Well, if they would have done it from the get-go, But, I mean, now they're kind of in this universe, and they kind of have to complete it at this point. I mean, yeah, they could, when their contracts are up with these actors, yeah, they could go this direction. Easily. I mean, they've already introduced some characters that are viable replacements at this point, so... But at the same time, even listening, I'd been reading various articles from Hollywood writers, you know, animation writers, comic writers, and they were saying, you know, instead of Marvel, I forget what it was. It
was it creating new characters?
Well, like I saw somebody, and this was somebody from another podcast that actually posted this, this exact quote right here, but I've seen various iterations of it in more lengthy detail. This guy is saying, Marvel says, we need more diversity. Let's create, you know, new female and minority characters. No, wait, that's too much work. Let's just swap the big three.
I mean...
You know, I mean, I there's plenty of background characters they could bring to the front and then focus on them instead of having to swap out these mainstream ones with different people.
I don't know. I think that's a little... To me, I think that's a little bit snarky. I think... I mean... I don't know. New characters... Marvel... Well, first of all, Marvel's not going to change... Marvel's not going to introduce new characters. They're going to... The reason they're swapping out the big three like that, and to be honest, Thor's still going to be Thor, because we talked about this on Off the Cuff 51 for a second, because obviously it was news. But Thor is the guy's name. Like, you can't take away his name just because he gives up his hammer.
It's well, they're just, giving the name to the chick.
But that's... What is he going to call himself then?
They're like, calling him Scruffy Thor. They don't have a name for him yet. They're just calling him Warrior Thor.
See, but Thor doesn't come with the... Thor is his name. It's not the name of, like... I don't know. We were discussing that last night. Thor is his name. It's not like just because he has Mjolnir that he becomes... You know, Thor makes him... Mjolnir gives him his powers, but Thor is his name. Like, and he's still going to have... He's still going to exist because he's going to have another, like, hammer that he lost when he was a kid. I guess, is what's happening.
Well, they're going to give him a battle axe.
Right. So he's still going to be Thor.
And he's going to have a mechanical arm.
It's just... Like, I understand why they're doing it with these guys, because they're the ones that people see in the movies. I just... It's just not news to me. Like, I wouldn't... I don't bat an eye or take offense to, you know, a color swap. Or a gender swap.
It's another one of those, just, you know, they're trying to sell comics thing. They're going to go back. I mean, these are a part of those year and a half long switches that they do. It's just like when they kill a character off.
It is that. It is.
And then they bring them back after a year in their original role. And then it's briefly mentioned in the future. And then they just keep going. I mean, it's not even.
I guess I'm just bummed that it's news for the. You know, the obvious reason of why it's news. I think that's a bigger deal to me than, you know, the color swap or the gender swap. It's just dumb. It's dumb, and it should never have been released the way that it was.
Officially Marvel saying it instead of having.
But that's just the way I see the world, though. Like, I don't. That's just not a thing. That's not news to me. I don't know. I hate this place. Seriously. Anyways.
I think we'll move on to something a little lighter. As far as the Gotham pilot, have you heard what they're attempting to do with that?
The pilot or the entire first season?
The entire first season, more or less.
I have. We talked about this on Twitter for a second.
The feature a different Joker every week?
Yeah, and I said, it's all fun and games until you realize that Batman's beating up an old man.
I saw that comment by you.
That's not my Batman. My Batman doesn't beat up old people.
I don't know. It's kind of strange to me. I mean, I'm fine with them trying to keep the guessing game going. but I don't think that it should be somebody that's twice Batman's age or triple his age at this point, because he's what, 12?
Yeah, he's gonna be 12.
So, I mean, to have, like, a 24-year-old Joker in there, I mean, it just kind of wouldn't make sense. I can see if they're going to make him, like, 16 or, you know, something, but...
Yeah, but that doesn't even... Most
but he's not
stuff,
even the Joker.
Here's the thing.
He doesn't become the Joker till he's old.
Here's the thing about this show. Accident. And I have to wait to see it. I really do. The more I think about this show, and I don't think about it all that much, I really don't. I'm going to watch it because I'm very certain this is going to go straight on my train wreck list. Because most of these kids that are, they're not kids, but most of the characters that they're casting, and they're casting like younger versions of them, like, why aren't they all just being like rounded up and put in like foster care or like, what's the minor version of prison? I can't even think of
juvie?
Yes. Why are they not being rounded up and just thrown in juvie? Or, like, these aren't, like, adults. I mean, these are, like, teenagers that you can, like, you know, lock in a padded cell. Like,
why are they having them in costume, like, some of them already?
I just...
Like, when they're kids, like... These are supposed to be things that happen in their young life that, you know, transform them in their older life when they're, like, full adults.
Like, I would rather just see a complete reimagining. Like, I don't know.
Oh, it is.
I know it's a complete reimagining. I'm just saying, like a complete ground-up reimagining. You've seen the Gotham High stuff, right?
I haven't seen Gotham High.
The animated Gotham High?
No,
let me see if
but
I can...
even if you look at Beware the Batman, that animation series, even things went differently.
Let me see if I can find some art for you to put in, like, the episode post or something. They were going to... I can't remember who was working on this, but it was... they had character designs, and it was all the characters that you love from Batman, but they were in high school. And Bruce Wayne was even there, but he wasn't, like, running around as, like, Batman get up or anything, but see if I can find this. I don't know. I'll look for it, but it was really cool. Like that idea, like everyone's in high school, which means everyone's on the same playing field, and they just put everyone in kind of slightly different roles, you know? But this just seems like it's like, you know, they're trying to tell the origins of these characters. And for me, I'm just kind of like, why are they just all locked up? But like I said, I'll watch it. I don't know what to think right now. I'm trying to get this. How do I get a picture of a website?
I Google it.
Here, I'll send you this link and you can figure out how to get it out.
I'm good at that. Yeah, I'm not quite sure what to think about that. Now, the heroes talk is entirely different.
Because I watch everything, I was going to watch this Heroes thing anyways, but you throw Siler in there, sold.
Yep.
Because he was hands down my favorite character in that entire series.
Well, he was the only reason to watch it.
Well,
between him and Peter having, you know, the ability to absorb the powers as well. You know, they were, I mean, between the two of them, they were really the only reason to watch that show.
And he was the only reason to watch the show, because whoever, the guy that got to play Peter was just horrible.
I know.
Like, when I would watch that, I watched that show, obviously, while I was working at the theater. I could watch all my TV shows. And I remember I would be playing on my phone or doing something else while I'm watching Heroes until I heard Siler, like, show up. And then I'd watch the scene with Siler in it. And when he left the scene or the scene changed to something else, I'd go back to whatever it is I was doing. Like, no one else in that series was, like, interesting to me. And the way that the way that certain TV shows are now, where they're kind of like anthologies, like True Detective or American Horror Story or something like that, I feel like Heroes could have benefited from that. And my original understanding of what Heroes was supposed to be is that it was supposed to be an anthology-style show where there would be different characters in every season. The problem is the audiences really liked certain characters. So they had to kind of scrap that idea and keep those characters around, which I think hurt the show.
Well, I definitely think it hurt the show. I think that they should have swapped out the cast like they were planning on doing, regardless of what people were thinking, because I think as it gradually progressed, I think people started hating it more.
Because it always felt
because
small.
The story started going down the crapper.
But it always felt small. Like, Heroes was supposed to be this global thing, and it's confined to, like, 8 people.
So you only hear their stories, and then everything's done.
Yeah, like, you could have, like, had one season set, like, on the East Coast, one season set on the West Coast, and said you're following, like, 8 people on both coasts, and...
Well, I mean, they could have eventually tied it all together.
Yeah. I mean, it just could have been a lot better than it was. And the whole save the cheerleader, save the world thing was just dumb.
That got old real quick.
But... I'm excited. Yeah, you bring Siler back, I'll watch it. For sure.
He's unsure. I was reading about it. He's unsure whether he wants to do it again. I mean, he said that on the one hand he does, but on the other hand, like, his schedule, which I don't know what the hell he's doing, but it doesn't seem like a whole heck of a lot. Like, I don't even know what he's in.
But he could be
I think he's in a TV show at some point, but I don't know what.
He did 2 seasons of American Horror Story. And the only other thing I've seen him do was the Star Trek movies, but that doesn't mean he's not busy doing other things.
True, and I don't know what he's doing, but it's...
Just not something we're seeing.
Yeah, just not something we follow, so obviously it's not making our radar. But I was reading that he, you know, kind of on the one hand, like I said, wants to do it again, but is unsure whether it's worth his efforts. Maybe we should get to some tech.
Yeah.
It's a little different territory there.
Let's see here. Man, I swear I bookmarked something. Oh, real quick, because we're talking about TV for a second. Any True Blood fans out there, Deborah Ann Wool, who plays Jessica on True Blood, she was cast in the Netflix Daredevil series. She is going to play Karen Page, who is the love interest for Matt Murdock. So we'll see how that goes. I mean, just kind of like we were just talking about Heroes, I was going to watch Daredevil on Netflix because I have Netflix and, well, I like watching TV shows. Yet it's just that there wasn't like a compelling reason for me to watch Daredevil, but now there is. So. Have that to look forward to. Anyways, I just want to throw that in there before we moved on. The only tech thing I can think of, which may or may not be interesting to some people, and there's not a whole lot of information about it, is the new Tesla car that's being developed. But if you've got some other stuff you want to talk about, fire it out there.
I mean, if you want to talk about the Tesla, you can bring it up, because I don't know anything about it.
Well, Tesla, I mean, I haven't done, like, a whole lot of research in it. I went to the website just to find out what the big deal was with a Tesla car, and the way that they're built, I believe that you are actually, like, you know, you're sitting, like, the Chevy Volt, you sit next to the battery. In the Tesla cars, you sit on the battery. Like, the entire chassis of the car is basically the battery. And so as a result, they get between 200 and 400 miles to the charge. And they do not have, like, a gasoline engine in them for, like, you know, the whole range extender. So that's what makes the Tesla cars so, you know, special, is, you know, they're entirely electric cars. There's three models right now. There's a sport model. There's a luxury sedan. They have an SUV coming later next year or early next year. But all of them are like Cadillac expensive, like really expensive cars. But they just announced they're calling it the Tesla Model 3. And it's supposed to retail for around $35,000 and get between 200 and 300 miles to the charge.
Oh, nice.
So this is like the average Joe's electric car, I guess. I mean, yeah, $35,000 is still a lot of money to some people, but it's not, you know, $80,000.
The only problem with that is if you go on a road trip.
Well, here's the thing about Tesla, and here's the really nice thing about them, and I don't know how they do this, because I feel like Chevy may have done something similar with the Spark EV. I'm not entirely sure. I haven't really looked into the technology behind everything, but I know that Tesla built a grid of charging stations across the country that they're placed exactly like 300 miles from each other, like on a route. So you can drive the car from one charging station to the next and get across the country. Not only that, when you put the... Let me see if I can pull this up real quick, because all this information's on their website. TeslaMotors.com. They have some wicked fast charging for their cars. If you charge it for 30 minutes, you know, you plug it in for 30 minutes, you get 170 miles to the charge for that 30 minutes.
Wow.
It takes me 3.5 hours to charge the battery in my Volt for 45 miles. Like, I don't know. There's just something. That's what's so great about the Tesla cars, and that's why it's going to be interesting to see what happens with this one. I mean, I don't know that I would actually buy one because I'm part of a Chevy family. But they have said that they will not sue anybody that uses their technology in their cars. Because they want electric cars to succeed. So technically, if GM wanted to, they could actually build cars using the same technology as what Tesla uses, and they wouldn't have to worry about it. But, you know, head in the sand, they probably won't do that. I mean, $35,000 plus you get the whole tax credit thing. I mean, it puts it within spitting distance of being as much as a Volt. I just, like I said, I just don't know if I could do that just because I'm a Chevy family guy. But yeah, it's a really cool, it's probably the coolest thing I've heard all, you know, in the last week or so. It's just that this car is coming. Cause I like my car. I like my electric car. So
they're nice. I just,
they're not for everybody.
No.
So you got anything?
Yeah, actually, I was going to bring up the NVIDIA is planning to launch a new Android device capable of playing streamed PC games.
I thought that's what the Shield was.
The Shield?
The NVIDIA Shield.
That might be what it's called. I don't know.
That came out already.
Oh.
Is there a link here in your notes?
Yeah. It says NVIDIA may launch new Android device capable of playing streamed PC games. Came out the 14th.
Okay, I want to see this, because I thought they already
did. It's the NVIDIA Shield.
Yeah.
Oh, similar to the company's NVIDIA Shield.
Launch another Android device that can stream full-blown PC games from a network computer. How is this not... referring to the Shield tablet? You
can stream high-end PC games over a Wi-Fi network.
But you could do that with the Shield. What the hell is this? I think NVIDIA is just making stuff to make stuff.
I think they don't know what they're doing. Don't get me wrong, it's kind of cool. It looks like an Xbox controller attached to a screen.
Well, that's what's out now. That's that in that picture, that is the Shield.
That's the Shield?
Yep, that's the Shield. That is available right now for $100.
Hmm. Tempting.
It's also a portable handheld. Like, you can actually take it with you and play games on it.
That is so tempting.
Not necessarily. Like, you don't have to. Don't have to be streamed to it. Like, if you read further down the article, you'll see that Portal and Half-Life 2 have been ported over to the Shield. No, it's. It was a neat idea. I don't know. Like, I couldn't. It struggled to find this Shield. Has struggled to find a market. So I'm kind of amazed that they're going for round two. But,
well, considering I've never even heard of it before this.
Yeah, this was announced last year. Anyways, no, it's a neat idea. I don't know. Most PC gamers, they don't, why would you not just plug a controller into your computer? Like, I think that's part of the problem that they had with it is that the message for the device is, like, lost.
Because that's all I do. I mean, I can see if, like, you just want to, sit in bed or sit and, do something like that and play one of these games. Because it would make it easier.
Oh, absolutely.
But when I plan on playing, I either use my 360 or I plug my Xbox controller into my tower and I play the game.
There you go.
It just easier.
Yep. That's what I do. So
Google's developing a smart contact lens. Which is I guess right now what they've made it do is or attempting to make it do, and it's got like these digitized lines stuff around it. It's to kind of their special contacts for diabetic patients.
Yep.
That analyzes tear fluid in the eye and gives them real time measurement of glucose levels to their phone.
I want to see Google.
But I want to see them do like Jordy eyes.
Are you interested in Google Glass at all? I kind of am, but not for $1,500.
I'm kind of interested in it, but I don't want to pay for it.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's just expensive, and I don't want to spend the money on it. But if they gave me one to try out, to kind of beta test, I would so do that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Google is now doing free glass demos. It's right here in the.
That is hilarious. We're talking about
the side
that.
Column of the article for the Google contact lenses. Let's see what you have to do
what
here.
So you have to jump through.
You'll need to schedule an appointment. You can't just show up, which will then take place at one of Google's existing glass service centers in San Francisco, Los Angeles, and New York. So, sorry, Steve.
That's crap.
Sorry. Not only would you have to sell it $1,500 if you liked it, you also have to fly. You have to pay for the travel to get to it.
Well, that shoots that in the foot.
So. Oh, you know what? I got one, because this is a YouTube video you could actually embed. What? Embedded YouTube videos?
I've done those before.
Hells,
I did that with the Weird Al.
Hells yes. I saw this the other day. I think this is the news story I wanted to share. Planes are pretty freaking crazy. Airliners, like mm-hmm. the Boeing 747s and the Airbuses. I always thought them as like big lumbering, like don't move very fast, kind of fly in a straight line, kind of plane. You know what I'm saying?
Is it like a vertical takeoff landing type thing?
No, this is a Boeing 78. This is a video of a Boeing 787 Dreamliner, I think it's the newest Boeing that there is, and it's at an air show. And they're just, it's, I've never seen a jumbo jet or a passenger plane move like this before. If you want to take a second, you can watch the video real quick. It's not very long. I put a
I'm actually watching it. It's kind of amazing the crazy angles that they're taking, and it almost looks like it's shaped more like bird-like.
Yeah, I mean, you don't think of them as being able to move like that. And maybe it's just because they're always kind of like lumbering around. You see them lumbering around on the ground on like a runway and stuff like that, and then when they take off, they kind of just fly in a straight line, right?
Yeah, and this is making curves and...
Yeah.
it's... I don't know, maybe that means faster flight.
It looks like it could dodge some serious shit.
And it moves like a jet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is a jet. I mean, at the end of the day,
like
yes.
a small jet.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, at the end of the day, it is a jet. So it's kind of like, it's one of those things where it's like, I know it's a jet, but it does not look like it should move like that. I just thought it was a really cool video, especially since I've never seen them move like that. And I showed it to my wife, and she's like, wow, that's crazy.
Hmm.
Have you got to the part where it lands and then immediately takes off again?
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I'll embed that in the show. That's pretty cool. So, there's this other bit that I thought was kind of neat. Kind of off the wall stuff this week, but whatever. Prosthetic limbs that are lifelike.
I'm looking for this one. Oh, there it is. Found it.
Company creates prosthetic limbs. Like they show this hand that's missing part of the thumb.
I can't open the freaking link. That shortened link does not want to open for me. Don't worry about it. Keep going.
But it shows like this guy's hand, and this is in Germany. They made a thumb.
What? Sorry, I just saw the picture.
They made a thumb, and then they made it look like it's almost discernible about the detail to it. You can't even tell where the thumb ends and begins.
What the heck?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to figure out. And, like, the thumbnail for it, they made it out of the same stuff that they put, like, those fake nails on. They have to, like, grab the right color from pigment from people's hands and other fingers. That's some crazy stuff.
Wow. I mean, it does say, like, down here, there's a paragraph between two pictures where it says, bronze Stamos admits the realistic-looking appendages don't function as well as prosthetics with built-in bionics. But the fingers are flexible enough that for someone to play the piano, the artificial arms and feet can also perform basic tasks, he said. Which, at the end of the day, I guess it kind of depends on what you're doing or what you want to do. I feel like...
So you can own one of each. You could have the one for what you really need to do, and then you could have the one that looks good so you can...
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, it might depend on like how you just want to feel.
Yeah, you know I mean, saying? If you're comfortable with not having a lot of function and have one that looks like, you know, a regular hand, or if you're comfortable having the other one, then, you know, great
yep.
either way.
Yep.
It's just, it's kind of interesting, the technology that's coming along that allows it to emulate the realistic.
Well, here's what's really creepy about this, right? This looks better than movie makeup.
Oh, I know.
So imagine that app. Now take that application. That's kind
of... Jeez. Yeah, that's... Yeah, it's quite interesting.
Oh, here's the catch. Here's where they get you. It's between $2,500 and $8,500 for one. So I guess
depending on the size.
So I guess don't get one unless you really need it.
Well, don't get one unless you really want one that looks like what you used to have. So, like, if you just have pools of money and can afford it.
So.
But, yeah, it was too good to pass by. I had to...
Oh, that's really cool.
Put that in there. And then, of course, this is a YouTube video. I just found it funny. modern kids playing or reacting to playing Game Boy?
I have not watched that. I have been meaning to watch that, but I have not watched it.
It's actually quite funny because these kids are like, what is it? Or they're like, oh, it's like a DS. And some other kids are like, you know, it looks like a cell phone.
I hate people.
But they're all like 10-year-old kids or, you know, and under. It just, it made me laugh because, you know, because they make those cell phone covers that look like Game Boys. You know, so some kids have seen them, but they don't know what, you know, what they are. And there was like one kid that was, you could tell was super nerdy. And he's like, oh, that's a Game Boy. He's like, my brother has one of these.
I don't know. I can't say anything about it because I haven't seen it. I mean, the premise behind it seems funny because I can only like imagine, you know, just people's reaction to seeing that. That have never seen it before. It's kind of like when you meet someone that hasn't seen Jurassic Park or was born after Jurassic Park. Or, for example, the movie Titanic, when it was re-released a couple years ago in theaters, there were a number of comments that I overheard from people going, teenagers going to see that movie, that they thought it was fiction. That's our future, yeah. Folks.
Yeah, I'm not.
Makes me
not even getting in on that.
Makes me sad.
What is that? It looks like a big old box, and the screen has crappy color. Which back in the day, that was great.
I've got some comments written down here, but I can't tell if they're from an older episode or. For what?
They're from last week's episode.
Okay, all right.
So I guess I'll get down to what the questions were. Because last week I talked about there was this website that if you joined their, they had a Kickstarter where you could have custom superhero action figures made of yourself.
Okay.
And I had something else, another article that was about a 3D printer in there as well. And the superhero thing, what they do is they take a picture of your face and they actually match it up to the figure. And it, because they only have so many styles of every figure, and then they kind of, you know, it's your face on the toy, which is kind of neat. And then I had another one about, like, they have these bricks that you can actually build houses and buildings with that are basically giant-sized Legos.
Okay, that explains that first comment.
Yes. So Freddie Savage mentions, after this episode, all I can say is, I want a full-size house made of Legos.
That'd be kind of drafty.
Because, well, what they're saying is that they would basically put these, like, metal rods through them so they actually like stay attached in a sense.
Well, like,
I'm not quite sure what the application would be or how it would work,
right?
But there's somewhere planning on building one, so
see how that works out.
Yeah. Andre Walters says, super, super impressed with the solo podcast. I won't lie. When it started, I was wondering how it could work. Solo podcasts aren't something I tend to dig. It kept my interest throughout, though. It was weird, like you were talking to me as, you know, something in a good way. Not saying get rid of your host or anything. Just needed to give out those kudos, which I was glad to hear.
You know, I know I gave you the recommendation for, you know, to check out Garnet on Games for a good solo podcast to kind of, you know, homage or whatever. The reason I asked you about SpeakPipe is because he uses SpeakPipe. And he, you know, he poses questions to the listeners so that it's not necessarily him, you know, I mean, you're leading him through the show, but when you bring up a topic, you can interject, you know, that you're going to talk about, you can drop in a comment from, you know, another audio comment with someone explaining their point of view on something. I mean, that's something I've kind of frowned about that. Like, I know TFG when Mike has asked me to record clips for shows, and he's offered to record clips for Off the Cuff. And I don't know. I'm gonna try it out with the SpeakPipe thing. And I don't know how, what your opinion is on this. I just feel like when there's an audio recording, like, I feel like if you're not there to you're not there to, like, it's kind of like a one-sided conversation. You know what I'm saying? You're not really there. Yeah. You can't really, there's no, like, dialogue. There's no discussion. I mean, you're kind of just like, you're dropping stuff into a black hole to see, just to get a response, which I guess is fine. And I mean, there's ways that you can do it, and it's all nice and fun and all, everything. But that might be something to try. Like, when you know you're going to be doing a solo podcast or something. Mm-hmm. Once we have that back up and running, people could submit. You know, you can tell people what you're planning on talking about, or what ask them what they thought the big stories of the week were, and they could, you know, throw in their 2 cents, and then we could riff off of what they think.
Yeah, that's definitely an option. I'm kind of wanting to move that direction anyhow. I just, for one, I'd forgot about SpeakPipe since I haven't had it on the site in probably 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, we had a version of the site that malfunctioned, and it was on there, and I took everything off and then never put anything back. So I just got to figure out how to put it back on the site.
You guys can look, like I said, Off the Cuff, you know, we're looking forward to it. So you guys can look forward to it there, and you can look forward to using SpeakPipe to interact with Steve. Maybe that's another way that we can get stories to talk about on here, because people can phone in with what they think the story of the week was.
Yeah.
And we could, you know, we could be like, so let's see what so-and-so thought the story of the week was, and then we can riff on what you guys have to say. Just another direction to, and that would also work in a solo show too, because, you know, they say what they think the story is, and then you get to give your 2 cents on it, and then you move on to the next one. So, anyways,
sounds good.
I've got sidetracked there, but
that's fine. Justin Washington says, I think it would be cool to use a 3D printer for game pieces and stuff like that. He said, I'd love to use it to make custom Monopoly items or just general pieces for games.
I can see that, using it to make game pieces.
That would actually make it a lot easier on people, too, that want to do that kind of thing. Brian Jackson says, I'd love to have my own action figure so I can say I'm playing with myself and it not be weird. I couldn't help but laugh at that when I read that. Connor Murphy says, this is more like it, because I posted a comment on Facebook earlier in the week too, about what people liked or didn't like about various shows, and he basically mentioned the to improve the show, step away from the Batman vs Superman, because we talked about it for weeks and weeks, which, yeah, that it did get bad, but he says, you know, last week's was, this is more like it, not talking about the BVS rumors, and then talking about how you hate the rumors, and then talking about another. So, that was good. And then he says, I was never bored, and Steve, you kept it moving from one thing to another. Good mix of topics as well. So, another kudos on last week. Animation Addict says, my one worry with having an action figure of me is having my likeness in a package with the label warning, choking hazard, small parts. So everybody was using actually toy conversation, but making it sound dirty. Ryan Cox says, when was the last big movie to kill off a main character during a franchise? Which I think I'll probably save that for another date.
Wait a second. Where did this one come from? Did I miss this one?
It was somewhere on Twitter.
I feel like we were having a conversation about this.
That may have been, and I think I'd put it in there.
Okay.
But we can always do a little bit of detail on that later on.
Yeah.
Maybe if anybody wants to, you know, maybe we could.
Yeah, why don't we just ask everyone that might not have seen the Twitter conversation?
Yeah. Yeah, that can be the question for the week.
When's the last time a movie killed off a major character or ended on a cliffhanger? And when I say that, I'm talking, the conversation devolved out of something we didn't actually talk about, surprisingly, but we were getting kind of, I didn't want to start talking about movies, but we kind of are now. We started talking about Star Trek Into Darkness and about how, you know, a couple of tweaks to that movie could have made it, you know, better than it was. And one of those being that, in my opinion, Kirk should have died. Which immediately makes me actually think of the original Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan, where Spock does die. I feel like if Kirk had actually died, it would have been interesting to see that, because, I mean, we all know they could have brought him back somehow. It's Star Trek, for crying out loud. Or you could have actually, because it's a different timeline, you could have started going down that road without Kirk, which I think also would have been kind of cool to see. But the fact that they killed him and brought him back in the same movie just kind of cheapens the whole thing.
Like, they could have almost skipped the death.
Yeah.
If, like, they were going to do it that way.
Why even have him, like, die in the first place? I don't know. Maybe that's because Spock got mad and then, you know, tore off across San Francisco in a high-speed foot chase. But, like, yeah, when's the last time you saw, like, a major character, like, die in a movie? That, you know, we've got Wrath of Khan as an example, or, like, a cliffhanger ending. For all intents and purposes, like, Back to the Future. I know the ending to the first Back to the Future was reshot when they went to go do Back to the Future 2. Just kind of like as well as the beginning of Back to the Future 2 was reshot. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because they added Marty. I believe Marty ran back around the corner in 1 and 2, did he not?
I think so.
But I know that Marty running back around the corner in Back to the Future 1 was added. Like, that's not the original cut of the movie. That was all added, like, later when they were going to make it into a trilogy of stuff. So that's kind of like a cliffhanger ending, I guess, in a certain sense. I mean, it wasn't when it originally aired, but it is now if you were to watch it. I guess because it just kind of baffles me when studios are trying to make franchises and maintain continuity.
Well, it's like the second Back to the Future and third are probably a better example just because...
Well, they're shot back to back.
Well, not only that, but...
Doc is gone.
Doc's gone.
Right. But see, that's what I'm talking... And, like, that's... I guess that's a really good example, and that kind of follows the example of Pirates 2 and Pirates 3, where, you know, Jack Sparrow is, for all intents and purposes, dead, and they have to get him back. At least that's how I kind of interpreted what happened to Jack.
Well, yeah, I mean, that he basically did.
Right.
He went into the not dead, not alive. He was just kind of existing.
In limbo, purgatory,
yeah,
I guess.
Limbo.
So, I mean, if you look at, like, maybe not necessarily, I'm not looking for, like, the one-off movie that never got its sequel that has a cliffhanger. And, the two examples we gave were Back to the Future 2 and 3 and Pirates 2 and 3. I'm just wondering, when's the last time you saw a movie, you know, get that, the cliffhanger, you know, the reason for the audience to come back? Because lately it's kind of like, while they want to build franchises and continuities and everyone's building worlds and all this stuff, and the movies are still self-contained and that's fine, but I feel like the stakes are just always so low.
Well, I mean, it's like, you know, we mentioned Star Trek Into Darkness. Look at... the Transformer films. Every film, Prime either dies or almost dies and then gets restored and then kicks every guy's butt at the end.
Right.
So there's no reason to even have that in there if you're not even gonna actually follow through.
But it's a bummer because you know there's gonna be another Transformers. We know that there was gonna be a Star Trek 3. Why would you not just off the guy, you know? Give once the last time you felt like you needed to come back for a sequel?
I haven't really felt like that in a long time.
I mean, I go to see them because it's like a continuation of the characters, but like there's no like, I can't remember the last time I needed to go back and see something.
I watch things more out of necessity for the characters. I don't like the stories half the time. Like you said, they're self-contained. It doesn't matter.
So maybe we aren't asking the questions, and this whole conversation was a little long-winded. But yeah, when's the last time you saw a good cliffhanger ending, or like a major character death in a franchise, even if that character comes back later? Like, when's the last time you saw another film? Yeah, when's the last time you saw a good character death? Just let us know. That's what we were talking about on Twitter. So.
And then the final statement for the questions last week is Caleb Browning saying, I would combine the questions and use a 3D printer to make my own action figure. I'm going to go with Star Wars Classic Scale. I'd love to have my likeness in an old Jedi uniform or Stormtroopers.
There you go.
Which would be fun.
So, all right. Where can they get in touch with us?
Well, for starters, I will be tacking on just a bonus clip at the end of this episode, just for those interested, before I give out the contact details.
Oh.
Has to do with a local web TV show thing that's shooting locally here, but I'm doing a quick interview with them, but... So those interested in that'll be at the end. If not, you can interact with the show in the following ways. You can call the voicemail line 502-526-5821. You can email us feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can visit the website episode post on the geekcastradio.com. You can get a hold of us on Twitter @geekcastradio or #alteredgeek. My Twitter handle is @SCP21, and yours is?
@BoothNinja81.
So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks. See you next time.
Bye.
Welcome back to the bonus segment of Altered Geek Unlimited. Here we have the owner of Lion Productions, Brad Leo Lion.
Glad to be here, and thank you for having me.
Not a problem. If you're unfamiliar with him, he's brought you such films as Little Creeps and Monsters on Main Street. Today, he's joining us to discuss his new upcoming comedy TV series, Roommates. So, if you would, please tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, first of all, I want to say I totally understand for those of you who may not have seen Little Creeps or Monsters on Main Street. As a matter of fact, that's half the reason why I actually have to do the current Indiegogo campaign we're doing. Because we just haven't done a great enough job of getting our films out there yet. But they are fun films. They're not your typical backdoor independent film. There's great cast in them. Monsters on Main Street features Marty Kleba from Pirates of the Caribbean and horror icon Robert Zadar. Little Creeps has a ton of people in it, from Charlie Sheen's uncle, Joe Estevez, who's been in 200 films himself, to Dustin Diamond, Lark Voorhees from Saved by the Bell. Robert's in it as well. Just a great cast altogether. Heck, even Hall of Famer Jake the Snake Roberts is playing my father.
Nice.
But as Steve alluded to, we're currently working on a new television sitcom called Roommates. And Roommates is kind of like The Big Bang Theory meets a show called Holliston, where it's about a group of friends who've kind of moved together for all the wrong reasons. They didn't know each other initially. But there's a subline plot to it where one of the characters is really obsessed and paranoid by horror films. And it's actually his paranoia that leads all of his previous roommates to continuously moving out. So finally, the landlord says, hey, you've got to get another roommate or you're out on the street. So he winds up searching for new roommates, puts an ad out there, and Victor moves in. And Victor's an out-of-work movie director. But he pitches this concept of letting me do a reality show right in this person's apartment, giving them 24-hour access. And, of course, Kyle, the paranoid monster freak, agrees. He's thrilled to have the idea, but what he doesn't realize is he just gave this guy 24-hour access who doesn't have a penny to his name. So there's now two broke people living in the apartment and with no way to pay rent. But Victor, being the creative guy he is, comes up with another concept. Let's go ahead and go out and run a casting call, have people audition to move in with us for my supposed reality show that I have no money for. And the winners of the casting call will get to pay rent and help cover the cost of living here. So he winds up pitching this. People move in. We've got this great, fun concept. But the interesting aspect, too, on that underlying horror plot is the question gradually becomes, episode through episode, was Kyle really that crazy and paranoid and delusional? Or does he actually know a little bit something? Is he on to something that's going on in their own little mythical world? You know, do zombies and werewolves and vampires on some level actually exist? The problem came down is we put together a great team to put this show on. I mean, awesome producers. We've already assembled a really cool cast. But we made an initial budget that didn't include the construction of various sets because we've always shot on location. The problem is our location didn't work out for our apartment. We couldn't really control the external sounds that makes it, you know, high-end and high-quality. So without being able to control those, you know, cars driving by and the train tracks that happen to be a mile away, but we're still noisy, we wound up having to build a set that we just didn't have the budget for. So we've launched an Indiegogo campaign that you can find at www.helproommates.com. And you don't need the W, so just helproommates.com works. And you go there and you get all kinds of perks from little things like stress balls and sign posters and official T-shirts, all the way up to cameo appearances in the show and even your own producer credit.
Yeah, those are some definitely awesome incentives for people to jump into the series and kind of help make it their own as well.
Oh, most definitely. The one thing that we want everyone to know who contributes is not only do you matter to us and we're so appreciative and thankful, but when you become a contributor, you're like becoming part of the team, part of the family. So we want you to really feel rewarded. And, you know, and if you're able to help on a strong enough level, we want you to feel like you've really become part of the show. This is your show.
Yeah. And yeah, I've been kind of I watched the video and actually it was quite humorous when I saw it the first time on the Indiegogo where it's kind of doing the almost Ferris Bueller type talking to the camera.
You got it.
Which I absolutely love.
Yeah, there's a real fun, lovable concept to that. Many moons ago, I once produced a film that we actually almost went that complete route of. We wound up having a second version of a script we put together that won a couple of awards. And the second version came in from other people who pitched being part of our crew. And one of the gentlemen wanted to be a director for us, and he was interviewing. And he came up with this really fun concept, and we almost went that direction. But in all honesty, we had a great opportunity to bring in another director, Terrence Winkless from the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Terrence is a fantastic cat. He didn't want to go that direction, and he loved the original concept because it was more – true to real life, because a lot of it was kind of based around my experiences as a minor league football player. And okay. when we hammered out those ideas, we just came up with saying, hey, this is a real film. Yes, it's comedic, it's fun, it's not necessarily based on real life, but it's inspired by some things out of real life. But we wanted that real element that really said this is a movie, it's too dramatic and too powerful to just be kind of a farce of itself. And the funny, with all that having went on, literally just a couple days before we started to film, something happened, and Terrence and I couldn't get together to get Terrence out here and make everything work out. So another buddy of mine who worked on Green Street Hooligans 2, and I met him on American Virgin, Clint Verdi Rose, came out here and knocked it out of the ballpark for us.
Awesome. So how did you come up with the concept to create the show? Like what was going through your head while you were kind of percolating the information to kind of make this?
Well, we had already game planned saying we wanted to jump into the foray of episodic television, whether it's for Netflix or for Hulu or winds up on FX or Spike, we wanted to kind of throw our hat into the ring and create something that was similar to the things we enjoy, but at the same time was a little more relatable to certain types of characters and people that we don't really see that often in television. I love shows like Friends back in the day, but in reality, not every one of us is a science professor like Ross. Not all four or five of our cast members happen to be geniuses like the Big Bang Theory guys that, you know, work in these different science departments. Sometimes they're just average Joes who come together and are, you know, quirky in their own way. So we really wanted to give real life people that we've met, that we saw, that we are on some level, and create a show that says, hey, this is us, real life, people you can relate to in these interesting and funny and comical situations.
Makes a lot of sense, actually. Because, I mean, there really aren't that many shows out there that are more relatable in essence. I mean, yeah, a lot of them are enjoyable, but there's not really that much room for people to actually really associate with the character.
You got it 100%. You know, far too often you're looking at a character that you have to strive to find certain elements of their personality that you either connect to, or the show gives you one or two side characters you connect to. And that's not to say these shows, like you said, aren't great. Like, for instance, Two and a Half Men. I mean, I know that show's canceled and it's not the same thing since Charlie Sheen was on it. But they've got great characters, but in reality, not everyone's a millionaire living in this fantastic, what is it, a Malibu beach house or whatever the heck he has. You know, it's hard to relate to those guys who have millions of dollars, like half the characters are on TV. And then what they replace Charlie with? A character who's a billionaire.
They just tend to one-up him.
Yeah. Living these extravagant lifestyles that, I mean, it'd be great if we all could live, but we don't. You know, we're average day people. It would be nice watching a show about average day people. Kind of like, you know, back in the late 80s, early 90s, whenever Roseanne was aired. Roseanne, people loved that show because it was them. It was relatable. It was your next door neighbor. It was your mom. It was whomever the heck you could connect to. It was real people you saw in everyday life. And that's what Roommates is about. It's about some interesting, quirky people, but they're people that you might have run into every single day of your life. You might work with at the, you know, at a coffee shop, or, you know, might have waited tables with you because, you know, this is the average common person. We're not all movie stars. And yes, I work in film, but this is the independent level of film. You know, I'm not sitting here in a skyscraper or, you know, hanging out in some $500 million studio on Universal Studios. I'm out here literally in Flint, Michigan, you know, making movies for a living, paying my bills, paycheck to paycheck, but having fun, getting to enjoy creating art that people are entertained by.
Definitely an awesome message to be stacked up next to. What kind of distribution are you hoping to get? Like, I heard you mention Hulu or Netflix. Like, what would be the ideal place for you guys to get picked up at?
You know,
if it were to happen, I mean,
well, first of all, we sure hope it is.
I know that you guys will end up doing it, you know, into some capacity somewhere. It's just where your goal is, more or less.
Well, I do want to say this, and it's thanks to other people, not from my own resources. I wish I could actually verbally credit them right now, but it's something we really can't do in our industry until papers are signed, you know.
Understood.
T's crossed. But I had a couple gentlemen who auditioned for our films who are outstanding actors. They've got amazing resumes that really, you know, I'm honored just to have these people audition and don't even know why they want to give us the time of day. But they got a hold of the script. You know, they asked me like, hey, you know, I really like these sides. Can I look at the script? And I sent the script out. They're like, you know, I love this stuff. I love this script. This is funny. This is good. And that's such a great compliment. You know, when you're hearing guys who've worked on, you know, literally primetime TV that you would watch every day. And they said, hey, can I show this to someone? Do you mind? And I said, you know what? It's registered. I trust you. Go ahead. And thanks to them kind of passing the script around, we had two different distributors/studios that represent their acquisitions people for networks that said, hey, we want a first look. We sent out papers. We sent out contracts and said, we want to be the first ones that actually has this copy on our desk to review, because this, the writing of this is something we really believe in and think could be a solid show. So, you know, we have our opportunity. So I don't want to disrespect necessarily any of those networks or streaming networks. But with that being said, I think roommates can have the right home on really any network if they want to take that time slot and say, hey, we're going to go after this demographic. And the beautiful part is this demographic isn't just one single age group. It spans a wide age group and has relatable people to a lot of people, but it is fun. It is quirky. It does have that horror subgenre, you know, in a comedy type feel of a Big Bang Theory, like we referenced beforehand. Do I think there's networks that have made certain types of content that says, hey, we are kind of similar to some of their contact, like an FX or Spike? Sure. We're definitely right up those alleys. But I think it's an ideal type of place that a network like Comedy Central would be right at home in.
And I think it'd actually find a really good home anywhere at this point, because a lot of shows are actually coming to an end, and some networks don't have shows like this or mm-hmm. not anymore. So, I mean, I could definitely see the potential for it going just about anywhere, like you were saying.
Yeah, and, you know, people are getting tired of every single channel every night being reality TV. And don't get me wrong, I'll flip on Last Comic Standing. I watched a little bit of that this evening. Really funny show. But, you know, a lot of us just want a release. We want to be able to sit home, turn on the TV, watch a show for 30 minutes or an hour that makes us forget about our daily stuff, connects with the other people because they're like us, and just get to sit back and laugh and enjoy the few minutes of a day that we actually have to ourselves.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that, for the fact that I'm not really that huge into reality TV. The most I get into anything is probably like Shark Tank or, mm-hmm. You know, Whose Line Is It Anyways? Kind of a game show slash live. It's different beast entirely, but those are really the only type of shows I watch of that kind of nature. I'm not a huge reality TV person, so when seeing an actual series to this degree kind of show up, it kind of has me interested in the potential and its future. So yeah, it's definitely cool to hear you say all that.
Well, I really appreciate that. It's nice to hear other people agree with certain philosophies. You know, you sit there and you think to your head, I believe this and I feel this, and I believe other people feel this way, but it's never any better than when you actually hear people say, hey, I hear your philosophy, I hear what you're saying, I see the ball you're pitching, and I'm ready to swing because I agree with it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I think TV's gotten kind of, I wouldn't necessarily say lazy, but I would say that it's gotten, they've tried to do everything on the cheap by going with the route of reality TV. And I think it was big years, you know, a few years back, but I think mm-hmm. that they've become too big and too many
yeah.
to where people are just sick of it again, which is why you're seeing, old shows come back revived or actors return back to their founding stations with new TV shows that are kind of, you know, family oriented or, you know, friend oriented of some kind. So it's refreshing to see more of this start popping back up.
Well, you know, we have went through a golden era of television. There's been some great, you know, projects out there. I mean, I like a Two Broke Girls and Two and a Half Men and any show that has the number two in it, I guess. But I understand, too, that there is some draw for reality TV, but you hit it right on the head. We've been hammered with it so much, and they took it as far as they can in so many different ways that now we're just getting repetitive shows, and people want to enjoy being entertained by people who spent the time honing the skills to actually entertain us. You know, there's almost so much of your time you want to spend watching a person that has no actual skill, no talent. They're just there because they could be anybody that was cast to be that reality TV star.
Exactly. It's I think that is part of the reason why you're seeing a lot of these shows have the revolving door anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Between either whether it's a show with judges or with cast members or concepts or themes, they just, it's constantly rotating because they're just running out of ideas, and because it made money in the past, they're just beating it into the ground. So that's neither here nor there.
Right.
So what's the current goal for the Indiegogo run?
Well, we ran a 42-day campaign, and we're literally right at that halfway point. Matter of fact, I think we just passed halfway. We're probably about 20 days left in it. The original goal for our total budget we needed to build the set was $12,000. Now, the $12,000 actually isn't all of our costs. We have a budget, and we have a contingency that we're able to put a little money into it. But the $12,000 covers our costs of renting the facility in which we're actually building the set, buying all the supplies and building materials to create it, and the time in which it costs people to actually build the set. And these are real people that will be employed in mid-Michigan. You know, they're given it's not a full-time job for the next 26 years, but, you know, it goes back to the community. It's not just going in our pockets and making ourselves rich. It's us making a set, renting a Michigan facility, building something that can help make this show that much better. And even though it's $12,000, part of that actually goes to some of the perks. I just spent, literally last night, I just spent $500 just buying up the T-shirts alone for the campaign. So we bought a stock of really cool T-shirts. We're buying these stress balls and posters. And the funny part is, like, if we go out and give a signed script, sometimes people are like, hey, you know, that's awesome, I got a signed script, but that's script beyond what I physically feel, like, personally, the value of it. You know, it didn't really cost you anything. And then I remind people, well, heck, a 100-page script cost me about $10 to print, cost me $7-$8 to mail to you. You know, the sad part is, you know, you might be, you know, buying a perk for $25, but sadly, you know, only $10 or $15 is actually going back to the cause. The other part is going to actually fulfill that perk. So every single dollar is really important and really helps us, because it goes to helping us fulfill the perks and rewards for you, and also helping us create this set and making it a better opportunity for our cast and crew.
Cool, cool. And so I see you've been making more casting announcements recently as well.
Oh, yeah. I'm stoked. You know, we had, oh, goodness, 8, 9, maybe 10 different open casting calls on some level. Some were invitation-based. But we've seen hundreds and hundreds of people. I've received auditions for video auditions nationwide, people in Canada, people in Europe, for Pete's sake. I probably saw 2,000 to 3,000 video auditions. So we've really went through some amazing people. And, you know, I'm blessed to have came across some of the people that wanted to be a part of this that just blew me away. Recently, we announced pop star Kira Kwesi came on board. And you might know her from that Beastie Boys remake Fight, and you saw her on Real Housewives of New York City. But she blew me away in her video audition, because, you know, when you have a music star that spent years and decades of their life honing their musical skills, they haven't probably spent that time training as an actor, you don't think. So when I get those artist submissions, I'm like, you know, I'm worried a little. I don't want to be offensive. I hate telling these people, hey, you might have not have what I need, because I need the people who spent all the time you worked on music working on acting. But then I came and I watched these videos, and I'm like, wow, you know, you're really strong. You have great range. You understood the character. And she wound up, like, explaining to me, like, hey, I love acting. I take it seriously. I train. I take classes. I have personal instruction classes, group classes. You know, and she really impressed the heck out of me. So beyond just having someone that has, you know, 500,000 followers on Twitter and a huge, you know, social media background, her last music video, I think, had like 1.2 or 1.3 million hits, for Pete's sake. We had someone who was really talented that truly fit the role from an emotional range standpoint. And we played with it a bit, and we kind of altered the character, because the character we cast her for, I always had kind of more of an alternative grunge look, but she really emotionally fit it so well that she made me believe she fits the character.
It's amazing how sometimes that can just you envision one thing and then it totally changes by the time it's time to cast.
Oh yeah. You know, I always tell people who are fresh, get into film, and you'll hear, you know, directors say it every day and writers especially. They'll always say, like, what you put down on paper, you know, what you envision is never what really winds up on screen. But sometimes when you're really lucky, what winds up on screen is even better than what you dreamed about. And I have a ton of hope and belief that that's really going to happen here because, I mean, Kara's fantastic. We found these two guys who are just utter diamonds in the rough, David Lou Cooper and Mackenzie Trevor. I mean, you know, I normally don't want to chance an entire sitcom, let alone, you know, a feature film when I'm making them, you know, on, you know, kind of new faces. But these two guys, I mean, they battled in every audition. I played like Lloyd Kaufman here and dragged them out to probably 5 or 10 auditions, you know, per person, just to make sure like they wanted it and they were really like that strong. But time again and time again, they beat everyone that was in there and just really, really said, hey, you know, we might not have the resume of, you know, a Joe Estevez or a Robert Zadar who've been in, you know, 100, 200 films, you know, respectively. But we can act, we've got great range, you know, we believe in the characters, we can be the character, we can act natural and unnatural circumstances. And I'll tell you what, man, that David, he's like a young Jim Carrey, only I like him better than Jim, mostly as a person. you know, Mackenzie, oh my Lord. You know, the thing is, if you're around this guy in real life, you know, he's a really cool, great, fun guy, like a person you don't mind hanging out with. But the character he plays is a better nerd than I see on The Big Bang Theory. I mean, you really believe him to be this, like, quirky, crazy guy because he's believable as a quirky and crazy guy. I mean, he sells it. These two guys are outstanding. I couldn't be happier with them. They're going to bring it home. Kara's going to do a great job. We've got a couple other people I'm getting ready to announce that once we get the once again the T's crossed, you know, that are just phenomenal. Robert Zadar, of course, that I mentioned previously, he's going to appear in this first season. And Bobby Z's been everything from the maniac cop, you know, to the face from Tango and Cash. So, I mean, we've got some really fantastic people involved.
Awesome. Awesome. So how long until you guesstimate that we'll see maybe a sneak peek at what's coming?
Well, here's the thing. For anyone who winds up going to helproommates.com, we're going to do a special screening of one of our episodes. I don't want to use the term pilot because we've actually greenlit, as it's called, like going to series in the world of television. But we've greenlit our first three episodes ourselves. We're producing them ourselves. And that first episode is going to actually be screened theatrically following a special screening of Monsters on Main Street. So before anyone in the world gets to see it, before it hits TV, if you go out there and it's going to be a long event where you get to see Monsters on Main Street, you get to see the TV series, there's a questions and answers session, but you can get the ticket at helproommates.com and you can come out and actually see it live and in person.
Awesome. So anything else you'd like to inform the listeners about before we let you go?
Well, please help because we badly need it. And the perks, they're really cool. They're things where we don't try and gorge your wallet. We understand and respect these are hard economic times. We just need your help. So we give you perks that really have like the value for the dollar. Like for instance, for like less than $200, you can actually get your face, a picture of you on the wall at the coffee shop that one of our lead actors works at as one of the customers of the month, you know, just, I mean, little things that aren't that expensive, that don't kill your budget, that, you know, can actually provide you like a real, like, intimate, you know, foray into our TV series. But, you know, outside of Roommates, you know, Little Creeps is going to be coming pretty soon to home video and VOD. Looking forward to that. It's finally finished its festival tour. We've got one festival that's been asking us, like, hey, can we show this? Can we show this? Can we do this before you go home video? And that may be the case. Then Monsters on Main Street is going to do a select theatrical tour coming up really soon. We originally wanted to be out there back in October to hit the time, you know, for that Halloween original season. But, you know, we got our hands kind of tied on a final edit of the film. But now it's going to be ready, and we're going to push it out here this fall, a limited theatrical release. And then we're going to come to VOD and home video. So keep your eyes out for that. Always check out linemotionpictures.com for possible casting opportunities and other opportunities to be involved. And, of course, we've got a fan page on Facebook like everyone else. So all you got to do is search Lion, which is L-Y-O-N. So search Lion Productions or Lion Motion Pictures on Facebook, and you can find us.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you for taking the time to chat with us. And we'll ask you to stay on the line right after this.